177. Page 177, let's all sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?"
Everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia, and I want to say it's so good to see you, and thank you for viewing by way of Facebook as well. We really appreciate you tuning in, and I believe last Sunday morning I said welcome fall, and this Sunday morning welcome summer, and so we were going back and forth. That's enough to get you sick. But nonetheless, it's the Lord's Day, and we're excited to be here this morning, and I hope you are as well. We don't meet in vain, but we meet for a purpose, and that is to glorify the Lord, to sing praises unto Him, but to also to receive instruction from His Word and to receive encouragement. And so I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to be here this morning. There's a few things I want to mention before we pray this morning. I just got word that Kevin and Robert, that belong at the children's home, their father passed away Saturday morning, I believe it was. And so they are, I'm sure, with the family and spending time with them. Many of you know, last Sunday I had Brother Kevin pray, and this Sunday was Brother Robert's turn, just wanting to use our young people more. But nonetheless, let's remember them as they're with their family during this time. Miss Claudia Darby has texted me this morning. She's not feeling well at all. She needs our prayers. And there are several other things, other requests that are in my head, but I can't find them to pull them to mention to you. But everything is on the prayer bulletin, and I encourage you to look there on our website, calvaryministries.org, and pull up the page there. One of those I do want to mention that I was able to locate just now in my head, the Teagues, Miss Connie. Her brother was in a motorcycle accident this past week, and Bill, I believe, is his name, and they took off up to Virginia to be with them, and it wasn't looking that good in the beginning. She had put some things on Facebook as far as praying and surgeries that he was having, at least one surgery he had, but she called me last night and said that he was able to move an arm, open an eye, I believe. And so things are making a turn for the better. And so we praise the Lord for that. But nonetheless, remember Miss Connie, Larry and Christy, as they're up in Virginia with her family. And also Miss Cassie Kronovich, a friend of hers we had on the prayer list. Her friend had a husband that was very, very sick. He passed away. Let's remember her family, this family as well. And, of course, let's just remember November, upcoming elections. And I don't talk politics much. I don't believe the pulpit's the place for that. But this coming up Tuesday night is going to be the presidential debate between Trump and Biden. And so that's one you want to see. So tune in to that. That'll be good. And go vote in November. And let's pray this morning and ask God to bless our service, our singing, and our preaching as well. All we want to do is be a help this morning and a blessing to you. Two more things. Number one, LC has a birthday today in our sound room. 18 years old and going strong. So happy birthday to Brother LC. We appreciate you and everything that you're doing for us. Well, I forgot the second thing. So you pray for me this morning. I'm telling you, there are all kinds of things I'm trying to get. And there are separate places in my head. Miss Glenda, did you? Remember this, his request this morning. Anybody else have an urgent need, request they want to make mention of?
Remember my Captain Ross Brown.
Captain Ross Brown, Brother Allen's captain, still in the ventilator. Let's remember him. All unspokens this morning. You got an unspoken request. You can raise your hand. God sees that. He knows it. Every time we meet, there may be requests that are voiced audibly, but there's always those unspoken requests that are in our hearts and minds. So let's remember one another in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we are very thankful that we're able to meet this morning and fellowship one with the other. Lord, to sing praises unto you, to sing your songs, Lord. We're just a thankful people this morning. Thank you for the door of opportunity to stand one more time and preach and teach your word. Lord, I pray this morning that someone would be helped and encouraged and guided in their life through the scriptures this morning. Father, I feel that you placed a certain word on my heart for today, this morning. I pray that it will go out the way it's in. And we lift up all these requests to you, Father. For Kevin and Robert's family, we pray for them during this time, the passing of his dad. We pray for comforting grace for their folks, Lord, and their family. You'll be with them, be with the boys. Lord, and for everyone else who is in need, and especially those who raised their hand with an unspoken request, God, I pray that you would be with them, touch their lives. Lord, by the time we leave today, I pray that it would be said that it was good to be here. It's always good to be here. But let us today have an encounter with you in a very fresh and new way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. You know, you just just pray for us this morning as we just allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to us. I want to just say this morning, I don't know how many of you might have seen it yesterday, but our vice president, his wife, was up at the Lincoln Monument up in Washington, and that great crowd of people that were there just for a time of prayer for our nation, for our president. And that was very encouraging to me, that we have someone who believes in the power of prayer and not ashamed to come before the people. And he spoke a great prayer. It was just very encouraging. Reverend Graham was there. He was leading, of course, in the time. But to hear, Reverend Graham, he said, "And now what we want to do next?" They'd had a couple of people to pray. He said, "I want to hear everybody pray." And I'm talking about, there was a great, anybody else see that yesterday? Just several saw it. And there was just a great, great crowd of people. And to hear all of those people calling on the Lord for our nation and for just everything that's going on. Again, Pastor said it well. We don't use the pulpit as a time for politics, but we do use it as a time for prayer. And if there's ever been a time that we need, if Brother Schneider was here, he'd say, if there's ever a time you need to vote, hear me this morning, we've got to vote. We must get out and vote. And we must pray. It's time that we call on the name of the Lord, because He is able not only to hear our prayers, but to answer them and to heal our nation. And we need a healing. Our churches need healing. We need healing individually. Some are still going through some very difficult times. But we need to lift up our president in prayer, all of those that support him in prayer, and just ask the Lord to do something great in our nation. If there's ever been a time we needed a healing, it is now. Could we sing that song that says there's something about that name, the name of Jesus? Let's sing it again. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Amanda's going to come and share a song with us this morning. But as she does, I want to make a little announcement on behalf of our choir and the music program. I would like to ask if you would to please, if you are interested, whether you're listening on Facebook Live this morning or if you're here with us this morning, you're interested in go ahead and getting the choir started back up. Here's what I would like to do. Next Sunday morning, if you will, meet me here in the sanctuary at 10:15. Don't come into the choir yet. We're going to practice our social distancing. We want to do this, but we want to do it carefully, and we want to be very considerate of everyone who wants to come back to the choir to try our best to do things what we feel like would be the way the Lord would have us to. So we're going to start slowly. Next Sunday morning, at first, we will just have a meeting. Next Sunday morning at 10:15, if you'll meet with me here, again, just go ahead and come into the congregation, stay spread out, and we'll meet next Sunday morning at 10:15. We'll talk a little bit about what we feel like the Lord might have for us. And if we have two or three that say that we're ready to start back and that's all, then we'll maybe wait a little longer. We'll just follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. But if you'll meet me here next Sunday morning at 10:15 here in the sanctuary, we're going to discuss where we feel like the Lord might have us to go from here as a choir and a music department. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being so supportive over the past weeks, now months. And a lot of folks have been very helpful, very prayerful, and we appreciate you very much. You pray for Amanda this morning as she sings.
presence of Jehovah, troubles vanish. And the opposite of that, we're not abiding in His presence. Troubles are present. This is a learning curve, isn't it, church? Where we learn, take the time out of our day and spend with Jesus and commit our cares to Him. What a blessing. Appreciate the music this morning. And again, I'd like to encourage you. I'd like to second what Brother Allen said next Sunday morning at 10:15 to meet in the sanctuary. And we're definitely wanting to put some things back in place that's been missing for a while, Brother Ceylon. And we have a choir that wants to sing, and we have teachers that want to teach. And so the good Lord willing, shortly after we get the choir back in place, after we see what we're working with, then we plan to start talking about Sunday school. And so you pray for us as we take steps in that direction. The book of Psalms this morning, Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 18 is where I want to be for a few moments this morning. And Psalm chapter number 18, and I want to mention some things here in the book of Psalms. And I hope it will be a help and a blessing to you as you face each day. Psalm chapter number 18, in just a moment, I want to read one verse, and that is verse number 29, Psalm 18, in verse number 29, in just a moment. Let me say that this particular psalm is a long psalm. If you're looking at your Bible, you'll notice that this psalm is 50 verses. And so it's a long psalm, Psalm number 18. But there are three other psalms that are longer in the book of Psalms. And that is Psalm chapter number 78, Psalm chapter number 89, and then, of course, Psalm 119 being the longest psalm. The title itself is long. If your Bible has the chapter number and the book, the chapter number, which I'm sure it does, a lot of Bibles underneath that will have an introduction to these psalms. And so not only is the psalm long, but the title is long. The only other long title that is recorded in the book of Psalms is Psalm chapter number 60, and the title under the chapter is a bit longer than this one. And so it's a long psalm, has a long title. At the same time, this psalm is the same psalm or song that was actually sung by David at the end of his life in 2 Samuel chapter number 22. You will find this psalm recorded there. And it is likely that David composed this psalm as a younger man. Yet in his old age, he kind of takes a step back and he looks backward in retrospect at the faithfulness of God. And he has great gratitude and he sings this psalm again, looking at his whole life. Now, I know the current crisis we're in, and we've been in since March, that it's a sure enough crisis. But I'm sure that all of us, one by one, if we were to give testimony, can look back and say that God's been good. Even during this crisis, God has been good. If you think about it and peel it back and look at it, there's been a lot of family time during this crisis. And yet God has provided, and God is even good in a crisis. And so we have David the psalmist, and he's looking back on former days. He is looking in retrospect. And we have Psalm chapter number 18. In this psalm, David talks about deliverance from his enemies and, of course, deliverance from Saul. There are great victories God brought into his life, and David is showing and giving gratitude for that in this psalm, Psalm chapter number 18. But this morning, and you see it on your screen, I want to call your attention to a particular verse in this psalm. We're not going to preach all 50 verses this morning. I don't think I could, is the amount of energies I have this morning. Verse number 29, Psalm 18, verse 29, I want you to notice that in this verse, David continues his word of praise, how that God gave him victory. Notice, if you would, in verse number 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. He says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. I want to call your attention this morning to two particular words. And that is the word through and the word over. And David is saying here that God has brought me through a troop and over a wall. This morning, with that idea, I'd like to speak to you for a few moments on this subject, going through and getting over. Going through and getting over. He says again, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. It goes without saying this morning that the Christian life has many, many obstacles. And these obstacles that we are faced with in life, in our Christian life, many times there are no ways or no way around them. We must go forward through them. And I think about when Joshua, the Lord called Joshua, Moses was dead, and he told Joshua to arise and go over this Jordan. There was no way around Jordan. There was no way, there definitely wasn't no ways under Jordan, no secret caves or secret places, but he was to go through Jordan. So we see this morning that David, he is giving God praise and gratitude for bringing him through things and over things. Question is this morning, what is it in your life? What is it in my life? And I know we sound like a broken record Sunday in and Sunday out. I told my wife this morning, I told Christy, I said, it seems like I preach on trials every Sunday. But that has a lot to do with our day-to-day walk with the Lord. But I wonder if there's something in your life, if there's something in my life, some kind of obstacle that we can't get around. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord will bring you through it and then over it. There are things in life that we may be currently in and going through. My prayer is, my hope is, and my trust in God is that there'll come a day when I'll be over this thing I'm going through. A lot of us at times are going through things and we want to be over something, don't we? But sometimes it seems as though things are stretched out and they take time and possibly even years for there to be a bend in the road, for there to be a turn where that thing is in your rear view. Well, David again in this chapter is saying that, he says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. In this verse this morning, as we began to look at some things, I want you to notice that this is, there are some things displayed, at least two things displayed in this verse that are under the banner of trial, tribulation and struggle and obstacle. There are two things displayed in a couple different ways in this verse that David mentions. He mentions going through a troop and over a wall. And of course, I want to mention a few things that pertain unto that. And so this morning, the title again is Going Through and Getting Over. Number one, I want you to notice the means in our verse, verse 29. The means of going through and getting over. Notice what he says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." And so the means by which David got his victory in life during his life circumstances was by the Lord. That goes without saying that the Lord is our ability. He's our strength. But I want you to notice something in this verse. He was able to obtain the victory because he had a personal relationship with the Lord. And so in verse 29, that first portion says, "For by thee I have run through a troop." But notice this, a personal relationship. "And by my God have I leaped over a wall." David is talking about the relationship he has with his father. And he says that he's my God. And because of that, I was able to go through some things and get over some things. And I want to say this morning, that is the only way that we will ever go through anything and get over anything is by not just having Jesus as our Savior, but having a relationship with Him. If you turn over to the right of page in Psalm 23, David uses that terminology often. He shows that the Lord is his personal shepherd. And he talks about and he reflects on his relationship. Psalm 23 verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This chapter is filled with relationship. It starts off by David saying that the Lord is his shepherd, and David knew a lot about shepherding. David being a personal shepherd himself, and he knew what it was like to lead sheep, guide sheep, rescue sheep, feed sheep. And he saw that there is a contentness when it comes to being a sheep. And so David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord feeds me. The Lord takes care of me. He is my portion. He is my power. He's my leader. He's my guide." David goes down through verse number 3 of Psalm 23, and he talks about, "The Lord is my shepherd, he maketh me lie down." He talks about things kind of at a stand back about his relationship with God. But I want you to notice in verse number 4, David goes from talking about what the Lord does to what the Lord is doing. He says in verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Do you see the contrast there? How verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, he's talking about the Lord in his provisions, the Lord in his ability. But then in verse number 4, David is in a trial. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David says, I have spoke of the Lord's goodness. I have talked about His power. I have related to people. But David is saying, I am going through something now. I am going through the valley, in a valley. And that's encouraging within itself that he said, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. And the other word, shadow here, that's also encouraging that it's just a shadow. You've seen the movies when someone's walking down an alleyway or kind of at nighttime, and then there's a shadow that comes up on a wall behind them, and it looks scary and it looks mean. One particular movie, there was this man walking in the alleyway, and there was this huge, mean shadow with big, ferocious teeth, and it was following him. And he looked, and he seen the shadow, and he turned around right quick, and it was a small little poodle dog. How about that? You see, David says there are things in life we go through, and they look bad. They look scary. And pre-adventure, they probably are in some degree based upon the gravity of your situation and my situation. But he says when we are in the Lord's care, he says it's all about our relationship. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David knew that his shepherd was with him. It was dark. It was scary. But when Jesus is with you, it's just a poodle. It's just the fear. And I think many times it's the fear of things that defeat us. Many times it's the thought. I can't remember who said it, Brother Ceylon, but somebody said it. The only thing to fear is fear itself. There's something about the fear of something. I've had my fair share of surgeries growing up, and up until about 5 years ago, I had my last one. And there was always a fear going into those surgeries. But then it was no time when I came out of the anesthesia, and there was some pain, but I recovered. And that's behind me. You see, in life, it's much of the time, it's the fear of something. Because when we actually get to that place where we need the Lord the most, He is always there with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We know when it comes to shepherding, that there is a rod and staff, or at least there can be the staff that's used for both. There's the staff that is reached out to grab in the sheep. It's the long rod with the curved part. You reach out and you grab the sheep. That's about to go over the edge. And of course, that rod, it's used to defend the sheep. There may be a wolf that's coming after a sheep. And a shepherd will use that rod to defend the sheep. He uses that staff to rescue the sheep. And David knew all about that. And so now we're looking into the life of David, and he says that Lord, You have brought me through a troop and over a wall. And Psalms 23 gives us a reflection of his relationship. He said, Lord, You have been faithful. You are faithful, and You're going to be faithful. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk. You see, our experience and our trouble, our fear or lack of fear, all hinges upon our relationship with our Lord. Back in chapter number 18, in verse number 29, he says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God, I have leaped over a wall. I want to say this morning, if we're going to go through something and get over something, it all hinges. The means of our accomplishment in that is hinged upon our relationship with Jesus. Are we spending time with Him? Are we going to that secret place and praying, even when you don't want to pray, even when the pain is so relevant in your life and present in your life, and you don't want to pray, but you know He's your resource, so you pray. Are we praying this morning? Are we learning about Him from the pages of His Word? Are we going over? Are we going over, going through our situation and over it? If we are, it's because of our relationship with Him. In Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 10, notice this. Philippians 3 and verse 10. Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And Paul in this verse says, to experience His resurrecting power, we must know Him. Number one, we must know Him in salvation. But number two, we must know Him in service. We come to know the Lord in salvation when we say yes to Jesus and His plan. As He gave Himself on the cross to die for us, we accept that in salvation. We know Him positionally. We are a child of God now. But practically, do we know Him? On a day-to-day basis, do we know Him? Do we know of His, are we experienced with His resurrecting power this morning? Let me tell you what's going to help you in your situation, what you're going through, and one day hopefully get over. It all hinges upon knowing the Lord and the power of His resurrection. The Lord can resurrect a burden-filled mind to a ready mind if you know Him. The Lord can resurrect a dreadful situation that's bad, and He can enable you to go through it if you know Him. Not only in salvation, but in service. But much of the time we learn of His power, get this, through suffering. Having a personal relationship with Him. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. How is that done? How do we know Him in the power of His resurrection? The Bible goes on and says, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Whatever it is you may be going through this morning and wanting to get over, listen, the best way to get through that is through knowing Jesus in those hard times. Knowing Him in those hard times. Knowing that He's faithful to secure you in those hard times. Knowing that He's faithful to heal you during those hard times. Knowing that He gives provision and He makes a way when there is no way. He makes the crooked things straight. He can make the straight things crooked if He wants to. You see, when we're going through something, it pays huge dividends to know our Lord intimately. He says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. There's a second thing I want you to notice out of this verse, verse 29. Not only the means of going through and getting over obstacles in life, but the middle of going through and getting over obstacles in life. And I'll make sense out of that. David says, for by thee I have run through a troop. This particular phrase is linked back to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And it was in 1 Samuel chapter number 30 where David was in the middle of a battle. he and his men were up against a troop of men. Some of them were the Amalekites. Hold your place here in Psalm 18 and turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel 30. Keep in mind, we're talking about going through and getting over. The means is the Lord and having a relationship with Him, but there's the middle of going through and getting over. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. David was in the middle of a battle. He was going through a battle, and he got over that battle. In 1 Samuel chapter number 30, I want you to notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire." You know the story and the account here. David comes home, and his family's gone. His wife, his kids. In verse number 2, "And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives." Verse number 4 says that then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. They wept. It goes on to say that they wept, or they wept until they could weep no more. He came home and checked in on things, and when he got there, the town was burned. His family was gone. And the Amalekites, the enemy, had came in and taken them. And so now there is a troop that's to be had. There is a battle David is about to experience. And he is weeping, and the men are weeping, and they weep till they can weep no more. Have you ever been in that kind of battle where you've wept until you have no more power to weep? Can you imagine coming home and walking in the front door and your spouse is gone? Your children are gone. It was a home invasion. I'm sure Brother Allen hears about those more times than none. I mean, listen, there's home invasions that are everywhere, and they're getting more and more, how someone would just invade a home and take someone's loved ones and belongings. And so that's the kind of battle David was going into here. It was a home invasion. And everybody was gone, and the community was burned with fire. They wept till they can weep no more. And David says, the Bible says in verse number 6, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him." Well, David, you're the one in charge. David, you're the go-to. David, the buck stops at you. We want to stone you. So he was greatly distressed. He was weeping till he could weep no more. And the Bible says, "For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." How did David do that in the middle of going through something so crazy? Because he had a personal relationship with the Lord. He focused on God. And listen, there was nobody else that cared for his soul. There was nobody else there to comfort him. People were actually against him. And so David encouraged himself. He encouraged himself with the promises of God. He encouraged himself with the power of God, the things that God has done. David is now encouraging himself. You want me to tell you how to get through things and get over things? There's a time and place when there's even no help to be found out there. And you may even have enemies or people that's against you. And that's the time, the prime time, for you and I to encourage ourselves. Don't wait on someone else to encourage you, because listen, friend, it may be a while. But if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you can enter into this close, knitted relationship. You are positionally, you know Him and you're a child of His, but practically, on a day-to-day basis, you can enter into His throne room and call on the One who has all power. You can thank Him for the things He has done. And you can ask Him for help for the present. And you can trust Him that He will lead you and be your shepherd for the future. And this is how David encouraged himself in the Lord. Many times you'll find where David mentions that familiar story back when he was a shepherd boy. Talked about how I was guiding my sheep and I was with my sheep. And then here comes the lion and here comes the bear. And I rescued my sheep out of the paw of the bear and the lion. And then you remember he graduated from rescuing sheep from wild animals to battling Goliath. And it just took one stone. But it was in Jesus' name. And even then, David knew the battle was the Lord's. And so David is holding God to the challenge and to the test and trusting in the Lord with the sheep and with Goliath. He won that one. He won that one. How many battles have you won and overcame in your Christian walk? Again, we can go from row to row and person to person, and we all have stories. But yet there's this thing now. There's this obstacle now, and you're going through it, and you want to get over it. Many times we just need to sit down and encourage ourselves in the Lord. David goes on and he prays in verse number 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." He stayed in that quiet place until he had his confidence built back up. He left that quiet place with the assurance that God was in control. He left that quiet place with the assurance that God would provide and that things would be fine in the end. He would recover all. Listen, church, my challenge to you, as I challenge myself daily, stay in that quiet place until your confidence in God is built back up. Listen, don't face any day with a lack of confidence in Jesus. Don't face the devil with faith and doubt mixed together. It's like a man who's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. It's like someone trying to sit on a fence. Eventually, you're going to go to one side. And so David stayed until he was encouraged. In verse number 9, David went. Verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued. He and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, listen to this, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Church, this is just the reality this morning, that some are going to progress in their walk with the Lord and face their challenges in life, but others are going to faint. And it may be a mixture of both with any of us. We may faint until we face it and have victory. But there are some who's going to mature and grow and not throw in the towel every time they get faint. And there's just some who are just going to faint. David had all these men, and They were going after the Amalekites, this troop. And David made it, but there were some men who were faint who didn't make it. Let us this morning reach out to those who are heavy laden, those who are faint in spirit. The Bible tells us that we are to encourage those who are cast down. Bear the infirmities of those who are weak-minded. And so we see in verse number 10 that David pursued, and there were some who were faint and they couldn't make it. Let me move on and make my point. Verse number 17, and David smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them save 400 men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. What do we see here? We see when it comes to going through and getting over, that David was in the midst of all of that. He was in the middle of it. Yet God brought him through it. There was a troop of men. It was the enemies of God. It was the Amalekites. And yet David recovered all. And back in our verses this morning, David is recanting that. He is bringing everyone's attention back to at least one of many of those moments where he says, "For by thee I have run through a troop." Run through a troop. So we see that many times in the middle of what we're going through, many times there's great loss. Sometimes in the middle, and what we see while we're going through something, in order to get over it, many times we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord as David did. Ultimately, David ran through that troop. And if you keep reading back in those verses, he recovered all, and things were much, much better. This morning, Psalm 19, verse 29, "For by thee I have run through a troop." But notice something else. Not only the means of going through and getting over, the middle of going through and getting over, but then lastly, the maneuvers of going through and getting over. He says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." And so God allowed David, and David records this particular victory as a certain maneuver God allowed him to do. Not only do I believe these are literal events, and I'll show you why in just a moment, at least this last one, the troop was, but this is another literal event, but also there's a spiritual application here. David said that God enabled him to get over some walls that wouldn't come down. He says, "And by my God have I leaped over a wall." The maneuvers of going through and getting over. Look in verse number 33 of Psalm 19. "He maketh my feet like hind feet, and setteth me up on my high places." There are some things in life that we just got to get over. There are some obstacles in life that seem to be unmovable. And of course, this is just another distinction of going through and going over something. But David categorizes it in two things: going through a troop and over a wall. There are some things in life that are just there. Do you have a there? And I kind of grin when I say that, because there's some there things in my life, and they're not moving. And I have spent the longest time waiting on these theirs to move out of my way. And I would tell the Lord, "Lord, when this there is gone, then I'll serve you. I'll give you the best of my strength, whatever I have, Lord. Just allow this there to be gone." In life, there are some theirs we all have. There is something there, and it's staying there. There are some things in life that are unmovable. There's some spiritual or demonic pillars in life that are deep embedded in the ground, and they're just there. You've asked God to remove that mountain. You've asked God to remove that thing that's there. Paul asked God, God, would you remove this thorn in my flesh? He asked him three times, but that thorn was there. There are some things, church, that I'm beginning to just now realize at 38 years old. I'm just going to have to get bigger than that thing and step over it. Because I am tired of waiting on that thing to move out of my life before I serve God with everything I have. There are some things in life that are there. They're not going everywhere. You've just got to high step it over those things. And blessed be the day that I read this verse for the very first time. And when I read that David is recanting, he says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. He said, God will give you hinds feet. We know about the animal kingdom. And we know about all those deer and antelope. We know about, what is it, my goodness. Anyway, those, they got a big spring in their step. Even deer. Maybe that's what it's referring to. I got to go back and check. There you go. Thank you. I've got the horn of a gazelle, an artificial gazelle, in my office. That's the word I was looking for, gazelle. They have impacted in them a spring in their step that will get them over that brook. It will get them from exhibit A to exhibit B, destination B. But there's that brook in the middle. There's that place in the middle that's unmovable. And you and I, we have the very same things in our life. We are at we are at the starting point A, but we want to be at B, but there's this big thing here. There's the River Jordan. There's a mountain. There's a wall. But come the day we understand that we can have the energy, the spiritual power. We can have a sober mindset. We can have the provisions of God to enable us to go over that wall. You know, the Bible says, it's in the New Testament, speaking of Paul, that actually Paul was in a basket. He was let down from a wall. There are these walls in life that are there. And this morning, you may be trying to knock the wall down, and there's times in the Bible where walls came down. But there may be something in your life. There may be this time in your life where there's a wall, and you may have to be like Paul and just be let down in a basket from the wall. You may have hinds feet as a gazelle and get over that wall. But nonetheless, by my God, David said, I have leaped over a wall. I want you to notice something about this, because this experience brings us back to 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel 5, and I cannot believe it's almost 10 after 12. Is that right? Or is my clock broke? Turn to 2 Samuel 5. It doesn't matter. It's the Lord's time. 2 Samuel 5. I want you to notice something. Jerusalem had Jebusites in it. David had just got anointed king of Israel. And in 2 Samuel 5, in verse number 3, I want you to notice, first of all, David's anointing. But yet David, his first task he wants to take care of is getting all of Jerusalem back, which is walled. In verse number 3 of 2 Samuel 5, So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed King David over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Look at verse number 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem. The king, King David, he and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Verse number 6, this is a taunt against David. Jerusalem had Jebusites, the enemies of God, in that land. And David is taunted here and saying, unless you get by the blind and the lame, he says, you won't be able to enter in. In other words, David, you can't even get past the blind and the lame that are guarding this city. Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Look at verse number 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. Verse number 9, we see that David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. This is that picture of David giving gratitude and thanks that God allowed him to leap over a wall. I kind of believe that it literally happened. In verse number 6, that latter part, the writer says, David cannot come in hither. We know that Jerusalem was walled, but the Jebusites were in there. And the blind and the lame, they had guarding as a defense. And yet now David manages to get in and have a victory. He took the stronghold of Zion. Zion was the place where the temple was. It was God's center of worship, Mount Zion. Yet it was a guarded place. Yet God enabled David to get the victory there in Jerusalem. You remember just south of Jerusalem was Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And so this was David's first place that he wanted to achieve as king, and that is get Jerusalem back. But we got to drive out the Jebusites. And so David leaped the wall, as it were. David got in and won the battle. One thing I want you to notice is verse number 3. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Let me say this. David had many anointings in his life. Well, we have at least 3 recorded anointings that David received. One of the anointings that David received was actually when he was a young boy. You remember the story? Samuel going down the row of David's brothers. No, that's not the one. That's not the one. Finally, do you have any more? Oh, yeah, he's a young guy. He's ruddy. He keeps the sheep. He came, and he was the one anointed for a job later in life. And then there was a second anointing, and then this anointing here. And so what we stand back and we glean from this is David needed several anointings. Anointings in the Bible is symbolic to the Spirit of God touching us and enabling us. And listen, if you're going through something and you want to get over something, not only our personal relationship with the Lord is required, but we need a touch from God. And by spending time with Him, we are touched of God. We see that David was anointed, and because David was touched by God, he was able to get in over that wall into the land of Jerusalem and defeat the Jebusites. No doubt there may be things in our life that there is a wall there and it's not moving, but God has grounds that need to be covered. There's things that we need to achieve in our life. So we must leap, climb. We must go, being able to get around, get over, continue in spite of that wall so that we can gain back what's rightfully ours. All of Jerusalem, all of the abundant Christian life. We have David here in his maneuver. He got in spite of the enemies, in spite of the taunting. He was anointed. The Bible says in verse 7, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. We took a long time to really tell you one thing, and really that's how every sermon goes, is that God will bring you through it and get you over it. We talked about David and his means. He had a personal relationship. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. We talked about the middle of going through and getting over. And that was, there was a time where David was in the middle of a battle, and he pursued the troops of the Amalekites and had victory. And then he got over the wall. He got in Jerusalem and got back what belonged to him. What is it that's standing in your path today? Is the enemy in your way? He can be the troop. He and his demonic demons. Are you being oppressed by the enemy? Or are there, and along with, is there things that are immovable? He can move walls and take down walls if he wants to. But if not, we're going to go over that wall. I don't know about you, but the things that aren't moving, I'm going over. Amen? Because the Lord doesn't want us to be stagnant or stale or idle. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. We've seen the means, we've seen the middle, we've seen the maneuvers. He gave them hind feet. Whatever you're in need of today, if you need to come, you come. Let's stand to our feet. Give a verse of invitation. You come on the first verse if you need to come. Anybody else this morning? We're still singing, altars open if you need to come this morning. Going through and getting over. If you need help, you come this morning.